the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. We will, at the beginning of services, join in thanksgiving and prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Almighty Creator, we thank you for your kingdom, in which we can journey in this day. We thank you for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has suffered, died, and arose, and thus made a ready road to travel toward everlasting joy. We thank you for all temporal gifts, the gift of life. We thank you for all our neighbors, friends, family, and we also thank you for that gift of health which you have given unto each one of us. We would also wish to thank you for those trials which you have, or through which you have pressed us closer to one another and yourself. We thank you that you have heard our prayers and have promised to hear them, that you have given us the possibility to gather here in the fields of Liakatu to this summer celebration. Now, when we begin to examine together your word, this Sunday, we ask that you would still hear those prayers and open your word as you see fit for your congregation. Give unto your poor servants a secure mind to come draw near unto you and to bravely speak that which you give to be spoken, such that the listeners could become comforted and nourished and fed with the living bread. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. But lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. With that prayer of faith that God would desire to break his bread or word into the hearts of the listener, I would wish to read as a topic of my sermon from the 20th chapter of Acts, beginning from verse 7 to verse 12. And these words are heard in Jesus' name. And upon the first day of the week, When the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him and, embracing him, said, "Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him." When he therefore was come up again, and had broken bread, and eaten, and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive, and were not a little comforted. Amen. This read portion of God's Word tells of Paul's third mission trip, the end portion of it. On this trip, he had stopped in various places, held services, and was now returning to Jerusalem for Easter celebrations. And on his return trip, he stopped in Troada, or as it says in the newer translation, Troas, which is located on the western edge of Turkey. He had been in this city earlier on previous mission trips, and as well as the current mission trip he was on. And on his return trip, he stayed there for 7 days. This red text tells that in this Troad city, tells of the last services that Paul held there. In the first verse it says, "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread." In the second chapter of the Apostle, or the Acts, it tells of the way services were held earlier on. And how the people of the New Testament morning gathered to hold services. It states in the second chapter, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. In this, it tells in this portion, when we read the book of Acts, it tells of many different service. It tells of how the apostles were given speech, and when they speak of what they spoke of, according to the commandments of Jesus. And in this specific service, it does not tell of what the content of the sermon was. But in the first read verse, we can see that the apostles had love toward these congregations, which had started and they had visited. And Paul had love toward the people of Troas, the believers there. To services gathered those who were not yet believing. Paul preached that the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the gospel. But at the same time, he comforted the believers to endeavor to put away sin so that they could be, so that they could remain in the kingdom of God. And for this reason, when he loved them, the flock of believers there in Troad, and when he was to leave in the morrow, it says that he continued his speech until midnight. When the word of a God has been accepted, we live a time here in our beloved fatherland, and believers have gathered to hear the word of God. Even then, services have lasted a long time. God has opened his word through his servants. And there has been a receiving for the gospel which has been preached. Nobody has had a hurry or a rush to get home from services. They had quietened themselves to listen to the word of God. This service occasion, had an interesting turn when it had lasted so long. It stated that there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together, that a young man named Eutychus had fallen into a deep sleep, and as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. This service occasion was being held on a third level or loft, and for some reason this young man was sitting on the windowsill. There were no windows in those, or no glass in those windows. They were just open, so during the day they could have light, and during the evening or nights they were paneled up. But here, when there were so many people gathered together, it was good that this window was open so that they could have fresh air when they gathered together. When I was a young boy at services in my hometown there in Arpala, services started in the evening at 7:30. And if there were two sermons, as there often was, services lasted quite long. And I remember often falling asleep and pressing my head against the side of my mother. Not only young people and children fell asleep, but often the eyes of the elders were closed, and the person sitting next to them gently nudged them to wake them. And the question is that why did nobody nudge this Eutychus? That we do not know, but it happened. As it has happened in other places, that a miracle happened on Eutychus' part. Paul went down and fell on him and, embracing him, said, "Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him." Paul prayed on his behalf and fell down on him and embraced him. And this young man woke up, and it stated how Paul still broke bread and ate and talked a long while until the break of day. In the Old Testament, it states in the book of Kings, it states of where a widow knelt over her child and prayed, and the Heavenly Father allowed for this young man to be awakened. When we think of this, how Luke wanted to write in the Acts of the Apostles of these happenings, of the works of the apostles, a question arises that what is the spiritual meaning of this service occasion, of which is told of in this read portion. To myself came to mind when I read this text, and when the Heavenly Father showed this text unto me, that this young man lived with a divided heart. He sat in that window opening with one leg inside and the other outside the window. The world enticed him, as it entices each one of us. Our defiled portion is wanting to go for these enticements which the world offers. And there is also that danger that we would begin to live as the people of this world, in the midst of the people of this world, and as a child of God in the midst of the children of God, there is here a danger. When the disciples asked of God, or asked of Jesus, of the end of the world, of the signs of the end of the world, Jesus spoke unto them much, and he spoke of the kingdom of God, and he said that then the kingdom of God will be as of 10 virgins, of which 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. And then says in the 25th chapter of Matthew, in the 5th verse, that while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. When the bridegroom tarried, they all became tired. What makes us tired? What makes us sleepy? Isn't tiredness come from heavy burdens? Some burden is pressing us, and for this reason we tire. What is it in this time that makes us tired? If we think of it from the view of believing or faith, is it not so? That we don't have quietness, which is one fruit of faith. Life is full of many sorrows. We become interested in the temporal matters so much that we have to be at all times doing something. Are we able to shut our telephones off when we come to services? Are we able to quieten ourselves down at that time? Oftentimes not. We find ourselves to be weak. Our life is filled with temporal sorrows, and it tires us. Another thing that tires us, the enemy of souls, is diligent. He attacks against us in our own flesh and from the world. That flood of information in which we live is frosted with all sorts of things which tires us. If I think of that from this viewpoint, if I remember those service occasions in my youth when I perhaps fell asleep and awoke many times, it was secure to be able to sleep in the midst of other believers. There in the sermons of God's Word, perhaps a small crumb awakened me. Or then a brother or sister next to me, perhaps, gently nudged me and awoke me. But also, when one is able to endeavor in the place of a grace child, it is secure to sleep at services. The gospel cares for us and blesses us, even though we are outwardly sleeping. But we nevertheless should be awake in faith. Listen or hear that which the Spirit says. Listen to that which the Word of God teaches. And to hear or listen for those signs of warning. When those signs which tell us or of the second coming of Christ, if we begin to live as I think perhaps in the was how Eutychus lived with one leg in the world. Then when sleep overcomes us, the enemy perhaps wins, and when or even though the enticements of the enemy are beautiful and gives wrong promises, surely there in the world when Eutychus fell, he was taken up dead on his part. Grace happened. The children of God were able to see his fall, and God gave unto him grace to return into the flock of the children of God. When I think of this, how as a young man, I have been able to be often here in Liaka at services. Many dear memories remain from those services. Many of those service guests have been able to lay down their travel staves. Those memories of those people on whose part has happened the same fate as Eutychus. Some of them perhaps have not even yet had the grace to return. The world has enticed and taken them. The enemy has been able to make them lost. But God is gracious. The grace of God is offered even today. To him or her who has been lost by the enemy of souls out of the house of God, the grace gospel wishes to be inviting that dear friend. Repent before it is too late. the Word of God wishes to come near to you today. If you long for that peace which you were able to experience then, that joy which the forgiveness of sins brought unto your heart, it is even today possible. You can believe. All sins forgiven. In the holy name and blood of Jesus, and begin anew. It is possible. I would wish, as Paul, to extend my hand upon your head and pray that God would open your heart to believe. For to lose your faith is a serious matter. It can be as death, and scriptures say that if under the spiritual death one's life would end, the repercussions of this is everlasting death. Peter writes in his second letter of this matter that, as was told in the parable of the 10 virgins, how they fell, the 5 foolish and the 5 wise ones became sleepy when the bridegroom tarried. Peter states in the 3rd chapter for this they willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water, in the water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. And states how believers should be awaiting for the end of time, to wait and long for the coming. Thus we would wish to wait for the coming of the Lord. Each child of God who endeavors in faith could they still have that strength and desire that we are waiting for the day of the coming of the Lord. In the endeavor of faith, putting sin away as sin and be joyous in grace. Here in this world there are 2 types of sinners. There are those pardoned sinners, and then there are those who are under the law. When one is able to endeavor as a child of God under grace, enjoying those crumbs of grace, we can rejoice and await with joy that moment when the Son of God comes again. Are you, dear brother and sister, felt weary? Have you felt sleepiness? The burdens which makes one tired. Are you feeling that it would be so easy to put your foot on the outside? Are you, dear listener, perhaps having done this already? Listen, believe your sins forgiven. Lift those feet back inside. You can believe sins and doubts and fallings unto peace, freedom, and joy. This journey, it is not easy for us children of God. There are many enticements that meet us, children, youth, adults, and even elders. The enemy of souls knows how time is short. He attacks us, but God pardons those sinners in his kingdom. Paul wrote to the Romans of how important it is to live under the gospel. He says that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus, for it is a strength. For this reason, you, dear brother and sister, be encouraged. Believe where you are. All sins, doubts, travel faults forgiven in the name and atoning blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name and blood, sins are forgiven. Believe sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. Unto peace, freedom, and joy. When I came to this place, I thought that this text comes near to me. My own heart is weak to battle against the temptations of sin. Sin has attached. Am I still able to believe my sins and doubts forgiven? I would wish to believe together with the flock of God's children. This gospel is wondrous. It helps us, it supports us, and it carries us all the way to our destination. Do we not want to travel in this flock? In Jesus' name, amen.